Chapter 6. Nothing happened. Girlfriend was not fucking me, so we tried polyamory. She found a lovely 18-year-old, eager and all too willing to please me. I fucked her. Girlfriend watched. Then she shared computer games with the girlfriend, ignoring me entirely, and she quickly left. January 2017 had arrived, and I felt a constant, eerily soothing presence. Yes, girlfriend kept going to trans meetings and meeting friends. I tagged along and drank the wine. GNU officially acknowledged that Libreboot was no longer part of GNU, and they had tried to replace me in GNU, but they could not find anyone both competent and willing, because most people have self-respect, and they probably did not want their name next to mine. Yes, Libreboot was invincible. Time for FOSDEM 2017. I still hated Brussels, though. Yes, I did another talk there as Leah. Customs needed 5 agents to determine that, yes, the rapidly feminizing Leah in full makeup matched the biker gang member on her passport, as I sat meekly. My transition was going swimmingly. Girlfriend laughed. How nice. I met my Dutch lady, not my lady now, in Brussels, the one who cracked my egg. That lady. Yeah, she saw girlfriend, and she instantly knew that she was not her problem. She walked away in horror, knowing full well what she was looking at. She was looking at a trans woman in tacky femi clothing that I'd bought cheap from Primark. She hadn't shaved for days. She had a completely disheveled appearance, dead eyes, and she'd barely slept. She was completely dead to the world. Girlfriends didn't want to be in Brussels, but I made her go. You know, they both knew who each other was, because I'd introduced them to each other, smiling. My idea of civility. The night before, I'd left girlfriend in my hotel room alone as she slept, and I went out to get drunk, where I'd also met my former Dutch friend. She told me that night that it was difficult for her to ever trust me again after the events of 2016, that I was just ranting away about something, wine in hand. I went to the toilet and she was gone after I got back, which confused me. Then some random guy offered to have sex with me, insistently as though he wanted to rape me. I teleported back to my hotel room. I mean, I didn't. I staggered back to my hotel room, drunk. And then I sat in a chat room for hours. Girlfriend was none the wiser that I'd even been anywhere. She was still fast asleep. Girlfriend played a computer game on her portable gaming system that had been manufactured by a highly litigious company while not watching my talk. Someone in the audience gave her playing tips and knew that she was my girlfriend because he'd seen us. He found it really funny that she was playing games at my talk. I found it funny as well. Like, she was here because I could not trust that absolute basket case alone in my house with my brother, who was also there doing laptops for me. Business never stops, not even once. The FSF leaned heavily on FOSDEM organisers, asking them politely to urge that I do not badmouth the FSF in my talk. I proceeded to badmouth them in my talk, but only for about 1 minute, enjoying it immensely. The other 49 minutes of my talk were about Libreboot, and once again, people lined up to speak with me. They lined up. I had, it seemed, suffered no consequences whatsoever, and this made me gloat glowingly. A competitor had formed, consisting of former Libreboot contributors. I responded by promoting it in good faith at my talk, with a plan to integrate their code. They responded by shutting down, possibly because they hated me that much, although I can't be sure. It was around the same time, anyway. If they'd continued in that context, that they would have effectively still worked under me, while Libreboot's larger momentum would have blocked their own commercial success. I really would have merged their code, though, but oh well. I bumped into my Dutch lady again, still at FOSDEM in Brussels, mind you, and I said hello. Girlfriend told me that I should stop antagonizing her. My exact words to my Dutch lady were, while smiling, my tone respectful yet oddly menacing. Hello, hoe gaat het met jou? Yeah, what's so bad about that? You know, all she said was I'm fine, and she went wherever the hell she was going. You know, she was in full femi gear herself. She seemed happy enough. I paid her no mind as I went to do my talk. Nice lady, you know. Anyway, some guy I knew who also stalked us all week. He was the same autistic man who I'd met with Dutch friend at FOSDEM 2016. I let him share the hotel room with girlfriend of me. Yeah, he also stayed at my house for a week after FOSDEM ended. Good bloke. Back to Brussels, though. He seemed unaware of literally anything that had gone on in my life, and we chatted away gleefully like it was still FOSDEM 2016. No, fuck Brussels. I wanted to leave in a hurry, so girlfriend and I wheeled ourselves directly to my kitchen table in England circa April 2017, which had all my soldering gear on it, plus some other crap. It was a completely different house, and as we'd moved, the other guy left 7 weeks ago. He's probably still configuring his NixOS ThinkPad. Yes, England, different house, not Brussels. Brussels ended 2 months ago. We're also having lunch. The lovely 18-year-old that I'd had sex with in front of girlfriend also visited. The three of us are having lunch, me, her, and girlfriend. Girlfriend gave her one of her portable gaming systems made by a highly litigious company, and she immediately left. We did not have sex. I wasn't even looking at her. I did not talk to her at all. I was on IRC, and then girlfriend and I continued eating. Time for the coup. April 2017 saw me apologize and step down as Libreboot's leader, although not really. A democratic committee under my de facto control was put in charge, and I gave up no control whatsoever over the infrastructure. I let the committee do as they pleased with the code, pretending otherwise that Libreboot had become a fully democratic project. My public apology had been quite sincere, and this alleviated many of the public's concerns. They praised my humility. I would then spend the next few years, you know, not working on the code. Let them do all the work, I thought. It wasn't even my idea. Some lady proposed it, and who I then made my sysadmin. Yeah, some genius child. She was still 14, and she was running several major free software projects herself. She made some nice infrastructure for me and handled all of my publicity. I saw no reason not to deny her free help. She ran an April Fool's joke where Libreboot's website became Leaboot for a day, announcing that it had teamed up with Microsoft to provide secure Intel Management Engine boot, or something like that, because an opponent of gay marriage had apparently donated to the FSF. This generated quite a lot of confusion and laughter, which enabled more people to see the constitutional changes mentioned above, which were enacted on the 2nd of April 2017 with my blessing. I also offered to rejoin GNU, knowing that the FSF would never say yes. They didn't say anything. I was safe. Doing so, plus the apology, plus appearing to step down, meant that Libreboot no longer had any limits on growth. All forgiven, and development surged once more. I was still bored the whole time, relieved now that that other people would work on the projects for me, and I would focus on my personal life instead. The 14-year-old left a month later and became extremely famous with another major project that she'd started. Libreboot was safe, and I promised her that I would never, ever abuse the projects again. She knew that I would never be so bold. Everyone else could see what was going on, but I was being really nice, intentionally nice. I smiled at all times and showed the absolute maximum courtesy in all possible and in all things. Someone even asked what I'd done with the real Leah. Total 180. To be clear, yes, a child was in charge of Libreboot for 3 months. All of this amused me at the time. I was done with Libreboot at this point. I had no desire to work on it myself anymore, and the committee simply replaced me in all but name. I didn't even like their technical plans. They began an ambitious rewrite of the projects that I thought was too complicated and would drag the projects down for years. I proposed to simply improve my own code, my design, with regular new releases on that, keeping the code up to date, adding new hardware, but they wanted a new approach. The actual technical specifics are irrelevant for this book. What matters is this: they disregarded me entirely. I didn't care, because I had my own things to worry about, like my upcoming surgery, for example, and other aspects of my transition. So began a period of years in which I essentially became a nobody. I would continue to run my business and live a life, but I stepped out of the spotlight for a few years. I would drift for years at this point, at least in the free software world. I lived a life instead. I didn't care about Libreboot anymore at this point. I wrote April 2017 in my death notes, and it became May 2017. Genius Child is still in charge. The committee is actually three blokes I know who work with the genius. They do whatever she wants, and while I enjoy my life. Yeah, they only bother me when they need me, and I would absolutely never fail to respond when they did. Nope. I wrote May 2017 and woke up in June. I met Cat Friends months prior to that. She had so names because she had a cat. I had my own trans chat at that point with a website that teaches people how to buy hormones and do everything themselves without relying on gatekeeping doctors. Yeah, lots of people can't easily get trans care, so this was essential in countries that are hostile to trans people. Cat Friends started transitioning because of this, and we became friends in my chat room. I mean, I just want to be clear. My website gave her a pair of tits. Catfriend, girlfriend, and I went to Camden Market. Catfriend found it sexually stimulating, watching how I seemed to control girlfriends, and I didn't even know I was doing it at the time. I simply regarded it as caring for my girlfriends. to mitigate what was then daily nervous breakdowns on her part. I gave girlfriend freedom that, you know, she could always do what she wanted, but if she wanted me to do anything, I would always do things my way. Her ways were stupid, and she had no initiative whatsoever, so I just did everything. What's wrong with that? She was also extremely pedantic at all times, annoying me constantly, so I would often shut myself in my room to work, leaving her to do whatever she wanted all day. She would sometimes ask why we were even together if we were always apart. Girlfriend, catfriend, and I drank smoothies that day in Camden Market. We also saw some extremely tacky art. We also bought some random frivolous shit because catfriend loved shopping as much as I did. You know, because Camden Market is full of tacky, frivolous shit. Catfriend observed that I seemed to control everyone around me. Not just girlfriends, but everyone in the trans chat and also the LibreBoot chat. She commented at one point when I spoke to my mother on the phone that I didn't even ask how she was. I just asked her for something and I hung up. Weird. What did she know? I thought. I got angry a lot because girlfriend was so emotionally overwhelming at all times. I insisted on logic at all times. I mean, I wasn't taking any nonsense. Same for the chat room. I mean, who were they to argue? I helped people. I helped a 16-year-old with religious extremist parents secure hormones from a doctor without her parents knowing. I helped her set up a PO box. She got herself properly emancipated and everything. At the time, I just thought it seemed like the right thing to do, and I was extremely bored. Nothing else was going on that week, as LibreBoot was well in hand, and orders were slow that week. Passing the time by helping a teenager grow boobs seemed like the most logical use of my time. This is actually the second time that I'd done so, as was the purpose of my website and chat room, help trans people transition, where the other trans chat rooms merely offered hug boxes. They just say, oh, it'll be okay. No, I offered something real. There was even a doctor in our chat room who I'd found, and some eccentric who seemed to know everything. It was like a proper clinic in there and everything, and we told people which blood test to get, for example. My chat room did what the others were too cowardly to do, actually help people. I initially created the website when I was banned from one of the other chat rooms for advocating precisely this sort of thing, so I wanted to show them that it could be done. Anyway, Catfriend told me that I'd been extremely despotic at all times, that I'd rant angrily all the time. No shit, I had a lot to say, and Catfriend was showering me with constant praise, soothing my ego constantly. This all turned her on, but it wasn't hers yet. She was dating Girlfriend. We were polyamorous, as I said. Girlfriend did not have my brain, but she was into bondage, whereas I was sexually as vanilla as they came, yet I had the brain of Darth Sidious, the Emperor in Star Wars. Catfriend's words, not mine. We both turned Catfriend on in our own special way, and today she had girlfriends. I watched them smoking my cigarette as Catfriend vaped, and Girlfriend was her usual dull self all day. I fell asleep and I woke up in July 2017 to learn over the phone that my grandfather is dead. This annoyed me because I'd enjoyed my long sleep. I felt nothing but irritation on the phone, especially when my dad apologized multiple times. I just wanted to go back to sleep, which I did, as soon as he finally hung up. I found the funeral extremely boring, and meeting all of my relatives there was annoying because I had not seen any of them in over 10 years, in some cases, and I just simply did not care about any of them. I even ate at a dinner gathering with them later at one of my aunt's houses. I also had to tolerate the presence of my two brothers at said house, and everyone was being extremely nice. I was in hell all day. I didn't even speak to any of them. I didn't even speak to girlfriends. I was on my phone the whole time. I was bored out of my mind. I enjoyed the lasagna at my aunt's house, though. I had several helpings. I enjoyed listening to Safety Dance by Men Without Hats on repeat when girlfriend drove me home. I was actually singing to it, not thinking at all about where I'd just been. Catfriend arrived the day after the funeral and we had sex. We didn't even hide it from girlfriend. I just wanted to kiss her because she was beautiful. She was actually the one who seduced me first. Girlfriend said nothing and locked herself in the master bedroom while Catfriend and I fucked and got high in my guest room for days, undisturbed in our own small world. Then we continued at her house for 2 weeks, leaving girlfriend alone. I very much preferred Catfriend's house to my own. My own was a detached three-bed in a boring yuppie town. Catfriend's was a crap, terraced one-bed in a rundown council estate, in the centre of a bustling city, itself not actually a city, despite having a perfectly good cathedral. Lovely, lovely Reading. What a shithole. My shithole. real people live there, quite unlike the robot Christians that I had as neighbours, with whom I once shared in the nightmare of that oh-so-British delicacy a cup of tea. That's quiet. An ideal couple who regularly attended church. The husband was a mechanic, and her daughter had come to visit. She, the godly daughter, would tell me that the best way for me to make friends was to visit church. My kind of hell. I regularly said hello to the man as I mounted my bicycle each day. It was a properly picturesque suburb that girlfriend had chosen for us. She said it was dope. But I hated my neighbours. Cat friends told me at the time that I seemed to enjoy living in hell. I listened to, with great interest, as Cat Friend did, the families we heard through Cat Friend's walls on both sides. I don't think there was even a single functional family on that street. Cat Friend would sometimes get high to it, write poetry about it, and meditate to it. Cat Friend seems more alive than anyone else that I'd ever known at that point. Girlfriend's was gone when I returned. I mean, not really. She wanted to stay and still be my friend because she didn't have the guts to just leave. She wanted to keep spending my money and she wanted to eat my food for free. My immediate feeling when she announced it was one of relief when she broke up with me, but also irritation. We got into an argument that day and she simply left after I made it extremely clear that she would be unwelcome. She would say later on that I'd been prone to extreme, often irrational anger and that I seemed to lack any awareness as to her emotional state, or that I simply didn't care. My mother also told me that I'd been extremely insensitive. 1 month before the breakup, my mother told me when we were in the car listening to girlfriend and me bicker. She laughed, commenting that we sound like old ladies. I never proposed to girlfriend myself, but I had considered it. Once again, it just seemed like the right thing to do, and it was no longer my concern. Have you ever been fucked by someone while they explain their suicide plan to you? Cat friend and I broke up about 1 month after girlfriend left, and we remained good friends. I would continue visiting her on a non-sexual, mutually friendly basis. Cat friend later brought someone else to their home, fresh meat to play with, and I got to watch. We both knew the girl, as she'd come to the chat room regularly. Cat friend was basically using my chat room as a hunting ground, which mildly amused me at the time. I didn't mind. I also met one of Cat friend's other lures, a curiously Catholic yet also kinky transgender woman who was not in any way actually Catholic at all. I think it was just like a kink thing or something. We got hired together, and Cat friend's house felt exactly like mine. I still think fondly of it. She was just cool. And ex-girlfriend found a new partner immediately, which I also found amusing. Her new partner was someone that I'd met from our trans group that I'd been banned from. Because I opposed the introduction of demographic data collection at the annual general meeting, and the leader of the group generally just didn't like that I questioned everything at all times. She regularly manipulated what she accurately perceived to be a short temper on my part, and later just banned me from the group. I was right, of course, because I knew that data leaks were possible, and that introducing such a scheme would reduce the number of people who would join the group to only those who had valid identification, or identification that they were comfortable with. Because, you know, it was a tiny diner where we drank tea and chatted. That's really all it needed to be, but, you know, no need to ask for identifying information. All we wanted was tea. That's all the trans group was, tea. Also wine. Girlfriend and I, along with another friend, made a competing group, but it collapsed as this was just before we broke up. And the friend stopped talking to me, accusing me of having engaged in domestic abuse. Their own partner had been a survivor of it. This deeply annoyed me at the time, since I'd just survived what was, on my part, an extremely difficult relationship, and it was none of their fucking business, but I held my tongue. I was also annoyed because I enjoyed visiting their house, but I shrugged it off. Their house, I mean, actually a flat, was peaceful for some reason, and I enjoyed playing computer games with them. They introduced me to Sonic Mania, for example. I was everyone's enemy again, so what? I replaced them all the very next day after a girlfriend left. And by going to a Labour Party stall, and then I did Labour Party activism for a full year. I even came second in a local council election from my party. Nice people, completely boring and irrelevant, thoroughly deluded and not serious or professional, but nice. Still robots, mind you, but they were voting for me now. It's now October 2017, for reasons beyond even me. You're still in July 2017 summer dress, and it's fucking freezing. I have no idea what happened. Here, take my coat. I went to the Freenodes Live 2017 conference in Bristol, UK, to meet the FSF executive director. He said I wasn't allowed to visit Libra Planet 2018. Fair enough. He did agree to promote my company again and generally give me a free pass, avoiding any action against me whatsoever. He did not agree to there being a LibraBoot installation workshop at Libra Planet 2018 either. LibraBoot was banned from Libra Planet, obviously. The FSF, though, had started promoting several competing startups selling LibreBoot gear. Fair enough, and, you know, LibreBoot's free software, myself having benefited commercially from the work done by others, but the FSF did this while refusing to promote me at the same time. I was the one giving him LibreBoot while they sucked funding from it. Despite high living costs, I ran an aggressive discount sale from the year 2017 to 2018, and at one point aggressively compared their high prices, that of the competitor, to mine on a forum. The owner of said company seemed overly prideful and prone to anger, so I brought it out of him in a thread. He kept operating his company, but he could not compete on price. I would learn later that he'd started struggling. I did this simultaneously with another company by the same strategy. All of my competitors had higher operating costs than me, or lived in places that made other costs higher. At the time, this made me extremely happy and proud, knowing that I had the ability to do this, and it was part of my tactics with the FSF. I reasoned that they would eventually see no other option but to promote my company again. This combined with me being extremely nice and polite to them at all times. I would say nice things about the FSF in public, since we were no longer enemies. Matt Groening wrote this sentence, and it's now March 2018. He stole it from an episode of Futurama. LibrePlanet 2018 was imminent, and I wanted to do a LibreBoot workshop there. The FSF executive director had said no to me in a previous year, so I sent my friends there with gear instead. I did that, and a bunch of people, you know, we just made an unofficial workshop that the FSF executive director wanted cancelled. He actually tried to stop it. But what was the FSF going to do? Say no to people literally doing the fucking job of the FSF, namely promoting and installing free software? No. The FSF executive director said the following in his opening LibrePlanet 2018 keynotes. Social media during the conference. You can use the hashtag LibreBoot. LibreBoot. Holy cow, LibrePlanet. There will also be a LibreBoot flashing happening throughout the conference area. And then it goes on. Yeah, why be an angry twat when you can have someone else do it for you? Let them have the anger. All I wanted was the money. I also wanted to watch new episodes of Star Trek Discovery every week. The Empress was my favourite character. I also enjoyed the third series of Rick and Morty, my favourite to this day, as I enjoyed Rick being free to love his family on his own terms. The end episode of Series 3 pissed me off, though. I also enjoyed new weekly episodes of The Good Place. Michael shall forever remain my favourite character. His solution to the trolley problem did cause some tasteful eyebrow twitching. This is basically all I did for the rest of 2017. I just watched TV and did my work. The FSF did not capitulate because we were friends. They instead willingly started promoting my company again and even added two products of mine to their listing. I was making more money again, and 2018 ended up being one of my best financial years. Much of my anger, became dormant in this period. I did experience a general sense of calm, satisfied that I had now achieved a level of control over my life. I still had daily stresses, but they were predictable stresses. Being able to predict the world around me made me feel safe.